Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony. We're happy that you join us again. If this is your first time listening or downloading the episode, we thank you. We hope you enjoy yourselves. This week, I'm headed back over to Cyber City Comics, and I'm joined by Ronnie and Jazz, two of my co-hosts, as we dig deep into the universe of Marvel Comics, giving you our top three favorite Marvel Comics stories. I love doing these type of episodes. I had a great time doing the top three DC because, one, Daryl joined us, which was a real treat to have him on the show. But also just going back into your library and digging through your comic book collections, your graphic novels, and seeing which stories you remember, which would be the ones you would recommend to somebody if they were to ask you which comics they should jump onto, which stories stand out in your head. And it's so hard because there's a ton of stuff that you leave out and you feel almost guilty for, how could I not mention this story? How could I choose that one over the other? But that's part of the fun, and it's nice to be able to sit with other people who enjoy your hobby and to be able to have these geeky discussions of some of your favorite stories, or be reminded of books that you may have forgotten about, or even stories that you haven't read yet. So these are good jumping on points. That's the point of these episodes. Not to say that our opinion is necessarily the right one, but just things that if you do want to jump into comics and don't know where to start, these are great books to begin reading from, or definite classic stories. So if you've got some stories that you want to share with us, send them over to caveofsolitude@outlook.com. We love getting listener feedback. We start this episode midway through in our conversation, about 40 minutes in. We like to have the tape rolling to just let it all come out naturally and have a good discussion. So you join us now. You hear the laughter coming in. We hope that you have a good time with us.
Let's go into today's topic, where there will be no references to Dick in this universe. So,
oh my God.
Top three Marvel stories. Did our top three DC. Let's get into the other side, across the street. Talk about Marvel. Who's going to go first today? Any takers?
I think Ronnie should go first.
You want to go first, Ronnie?
You know, yeah, I'm back this episode. Let's do it.
Okay.
Which one do I start with? You know what? Civil War, because it's easy to gloss over.
Part one or part two?
One. Just kidding. I didn't finish reading part two yet.
Yeah, I haven't read any of part
two. I didn't care for two.
Yeah, I haven't heard good things about it. But talk about the classic. That's a good pick. Classic Civil War, major Marvel event.
Okay. It was one of those books where it was just like, literally, like, you always hear this, like, the lines between, like, right and wrong are, like, blurred sometimes and whatnot, but that was literally it. Like, that was the book where you actually saw it, where you had hero versus hero, or, like, hero and villain versus another hero, another group of heroes.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is going on? And, like, you find out why it happens, where all these kids died, because, what was that group called again? That had the TV show?
It wasn't the New Warriors. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was.
New Warriors.
Yeah, it was New Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were, like, filming on set.
Yeah,
like,
reality show. Yeah.
And then they actually catch, like, Nitro actually tries to run away, so he catches up to him, and he blows himself up while he's pinned up against, like, a school bus. And I was just like, okay, now I can see how this works out.
Yeah.
But to find out, like, Captain America
is taking the other side.
Was against.
That was such an interesting take, right? Because a guy who had always protected his identity in Tony Stark and making sure that everybody thought that he was like the bodyguard, that Iron Man was his bodyguard, was the one now who was very adamant of, we gotta register.
Yeah. The one that was like, truth, justice, and the American way wasn't for the government. And the one that was a playboy billionaire bad boy was for government. And it was like, what?
Yeah, it was such a well-planned-out event where I think, like, even to this day, like, they made Civil War too, but, like, the ramifications of whatever happened of Civil War, you can still feel it going through
the
Marvel U. And I think, I know that at that time, Brubaker was already laying down tracks for everything he was going to do with Cap. Like, he had already told some pretty great stories before Civil War.
Yeah.
But I think Civil War
is like the lead up to what actually happens.
It jumps off into into
so much more
for both of those characters. Like, I think that was, I could be completely wrong, but I think that was the time where Iron Man and Captain America now became like the
A-listers,
the main characters of Marvel.
Yeah.
Because before that, they were always there.
Yeah.
But the X-Men were the cool kids. Spider-Man was always, you know, the flagship character. But now these guys took center stage. And I think, I do think they built the movie franchise off of the strength of that book.
Yeah.
No, definitely, man. And, like,
I remember being worried, being like, they don't have enough Marvel heroes in the cinematic universe to pull this movie off. And the way they did it was fine, too.
Yeah. You know what, man? Like, during that last part of the movie, I was like, it's gonna happen here. This is where...
Oh, yeah.
This is where he's gonna die.
Yo.
This is how it's gonna happen. That assassin's gonna come out of nowhere. And
not even. Pow! You're just gonna hear a shot and then, like, someone drop.
Yeah. I'm just like, it's gonna happen.
Were you happy that Cap didn't die in the movie? I'm kind of happy it didn't happen.
But at the same time, I'm not. Like, I expected it to happen. Like, every time he was, like, in this scenario, I'm like, this is it, guys. Yeah. He's gonna die.
Yeah, and I think that's why I didn't like it. I mean, that's why I was fine with it. So excuse me. Is that because I was expecting it at any moment. At any moment, he's gonna die. And people were like, oh, you know, Sebastian Stan?
Yeah, he signed on for, like, 9 movies.
Yeah, so, you know, he's gonna be in the franchise, and there was all these rumors that Chris Evans was done, so I'm like, he's gonna die, Civil War, and they're gonna do a whole Bucky as Cap type of thing, but and it then didn't
now,
happen.
Now that it didn't happen, everyone that's read Civil War can't help but wonder, what if it did? Like, where would the Marvel Cinematic Universe go? Like, how would things happen if he did die? Like, if they did kill off Steve Rogers?
Yeah, I think those are the type of things that you could get away with in a serialized book or on a television show.
Yeah.
Whereas in a movie, you're selling tickets for people to come and see what it is that they already know. Mm-hmm. So you take a chance like that.
Yeah.
And now a major... Like, people, I think, really like Chris Evans as that character. So if you took him out of it, I think you would lose a lot of audience. Yeah. Perhaps. But I like that they change it where it's good for the next installment of story for those characters. As much as I would have liked to see, like, Bucky as Cap, like, going that direction, but it's all good.
You know what's going to happen, though.
Yeah, they're going to do something. Maybe in the Infinity
War. Well, that's how he died. That's how Cap died, right? That one time in Infinity Gauntlet?
Well, everyone dies in Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, here's the thing. That's, like, that could actually be the thing.
They're all dead.
Right? I mean, they're building new Avengers, as you can tell.
That's true.
It would be cool if they had Uncanny Avengers on screen.
Oh, man.
Get Jackman back in those claws everything.
I would totally pay to see that.
Yeah,
who wouldn't? And the thing is, like, Captain America wasn't the leader of that team.
Yeah.
It was Havoc. He actually told Havoc, he's just like, you need to be the leader. Havoc's like, what?
Cap is always the leader, no matter who he says is in charge.
But like, I can understand why.
That's Cap, like, Batman in the Justice League.
That one's a little different, though.
Yeah, because
that's a little rotating.
In a group without Superman, and Batman's there, you know he's in charge.
Yeah, no, definitely. But like,
yeah,
with Superman there, it's like they're both the guys to go to.
Yeah, I see, like, the Justice League as the Trinity. Like, it's always those three who have that say. Whereas in the Avengers, everyone kind of... You know Tony's got the... It's always Tony and Cap. Yeah. But at the end, people, like, they look to Cap and it's already, like, that automatic salute, that honor. Like, oh, Cap gave you the compliment. It means that much more.
Yeah.
Civil War, though. That was one of the first Marvel... Events that I've read.
That is really, really good. And, like, even the tie-ins were really good, too.
Yeah, it was, that's a hard thing to pull off, because I remember when I was going back to the comic shop regularly because I had a full-time job with disposable income, but it was Infinite Crisis and Civil War that I saw on the shelf a lot.
Civil War was the book.
And I wasn't reading it as it came out because I was a DC guy.
Yeah.
But I just kept seeing that...
you couldn't escape.
It was... every book had that that cover treatment.
Yeah, no. Every Marvel book. And this is where they were able to organize like their event properly. If Civil War... If an issue of Civil War didn't come out, none of the tie-ins would come out. So there'd be no Marvel books that week.
Good idea.
Whereas now...
Yeah.
If an issue comes out... an issue doesn't come out... Sorry, guys. We're going to spoil everything that happened in that issue.
Yeah. Tie-ins!
Yeah.
I think that's... I don't know if... Back then it was as dictated as it is now, where so many of these books are being run through events. Like, everything stopped during Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And all those books became tie-ins.
Yeah.
For however long that lasted. And then now with Civil War II, it's like, I know what happened in Civil War II without having read it, because they kept, like you said, that book ran late and it just kept continuing going. But yeah, it was a well-executed book, well-drawn. The what happened to Spider-Man was incredible. I wish that would have they would have stayed with it a little longer.
Yeah.
That was Danny Rand as
Daredevil.
Daredevil. That was something that so my cool. wife pointed out to me when she read it, because that was her first Marvel book she ever read, was Civil War.
Yeah.
And she had asked me, How come isn't Daredevil blind? How come he's looking around the room? And I didn't know. And I realized it was Danny Rand. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was...
Do you have Civil War? I need to see this.
It was,
Probably. You should.
You know where he asks him?
They're in the cafe. It's a scene where I think it's Luke Cage.
It was in the Iron Fist book.
Was it there too?
Yeah.
They're all sitting in a cafe, in a diner, in a booth, and... He looks like Matt. Their hair is red, all of that. But his eyes, like, you know, they look around the room. And Daredevil, he's supposed to be blind. So
he doesn't have his shades on?
I'm not sure. But it was something that completely escaped me because I was a moron. She was the one that pointed it out to me. That's probably the head turning. Yeah. No, it was a great book. Good pick. Good first pick.
Yeah.
Got to keep the ball rolling, Jazz. You go next. Wait, let me guess.
Okay.
It's somebody that has a fist in their name.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Or
okay.
Is it some sort of devil? Or a certain kind of knight?
You tell us. I'm not going to dictate your pick. You tell us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that right about Daredevil?
Yeah. Man Without Fear.
Man Without Fear. Very nice pick.
Such a good book. Mm-hmm. And, like, it still holds up today.
Even I've read
as
that
a one. Yeah, it's a classic. You could just pick it up off the shelf.
That's one of the Daredevil books to recommend as soon as someone says Daredevil.
Yeah. Good jumping on point. You got to put that on the list of that sale that Daryl wants to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the Origins or Jumping On Points.
Secret Origins Sale.
Secret Origin Sale. That's a good... There you go. Secret Origin Sale. That's got a good ring
to it.
That's
a thing?
Yeah. Daryl decided to do that, last podcast. He's just like, that's what we should... He just looked at me, he's like, that's what we should do!
Secret Origin
Sale. Secret Origin Sale!
But that's the Daredevil book to put there.
Yeah, definitely.
It has to be.
It's funny, because that book came out after he did the run.
Yeah.
Of Daredevil.
You get, Elektra in there, too?
Yeah, it's just a snippet of Elektra.
Yeah, I know.
One issue, right?
But it's enough. It's enough to establish everything.
Yeah, the scene where she's in it, I love Romita's art and his, storyboarding, for lack of a better term for it, where you see, I think it's either Elektra or Matt, they punch somebody through a window, but they end up falling through the glass floor.
Yeah.
Where the party's happening. Like, the sequence of it is just so well done.
He hits his chandelier and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, it was great. And it was a big inspiration for the television show, right?
The
tracksuit costume.
Oh, that was so cool.
Even the whole, what about that girl in college, that Greek girl?
Yeah.
She was crazy.
Yeah, that's a great pick. We did a whole episode on that one.
Yeah.
Love that book.
Yeah, it's a great book, man.
Would you say that's Romita at the height of his powers?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's the book.
Like, only Romita book that I've read that I've liked his art.
Other than the time when he was still drawing like his dad.
Then again, that's like the only Romita book I've fully read.
Really?
Yeah, he did a lot of... Do you like Spider-Man?
Yeah.
He did a lot of Spidey.
I really liked his JMS run.
Yeah. There's a lot of dialogue in that, though. It's like dialogue heavy, man.
Yeah. But Romita's Spider-Man, like that era of his work,
yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
That was great.
Man Without Fear.
Yeah, Man Without Fear.
Love it. Above Born Again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I'd rather read all of Miller's run and then read Born Again. Okay. Like, people can still, like, you know, read Born Again. And they'll be like, yeah, that was a great story. But, like, it doesn't have as much of an impact as if you've read the entire run.
Yeah.
For Miller's.
Like, I think you're right. I think for Born Again to mean as much as it does, you need to have a lot of groundwork laid for you to know who's who and why.
And why this person's this way.
Yeah, I agree. The thing with Born Again, I know we're talking about Man Without Fear. It kind of ended in a very fast, like, it tied up in such a way
where it was only supposed to be one issue, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was only supposed to come back for one issue, just to kind of do, like, a little one-shot kind of thing. But then he actually had an idea of what he wanted to do, so it ended up being, like, what, 10 issues or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know if it was that long, but it was definitely, like,
it was really,
six to seven issues. Yeah.
It was a long story for, like, that time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was.
And it's still the same creative team as Batman Year One.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Which one do you prefer? Born Again or Batman Year One? Tough one.
Those layouts on those books are great.
I would go with Year One. For me, myself. Batman Year One.
I don't know. It's been so long since I read Year One.
But...
And Born Again is more fresh in my mind, too.
Okay, yeah.
So I'd have to say Born Again, because of, like, the details in every panel.
Yeah, no, it was very good.
Yeah.
Very, very
strong. How the snow fell on the ground, to, like, how he would look, like, when he's getting punched in the face, and, like, how depressed he would look as he's walking.
Yeah. No, it was good stuff.
That was, like, a really, heavily emotional book.
Yeah. I never felt fully convinced about the ending.
Yeah.
It just, it's like all of that happened and so much damage had been done to him.
Yeah.
That they just end up walking off together like it was nothing. Like, he just takes Karen back in. Like, yeah, it's all right. No problem. It just kind of tied up in a way where I was like, really? I just felt it would.
Matt's kind of that character that's just like,
yeah, he is.
He's like, you know what? It's done and over with.
And I kind of felt it was like Miller saying, like, okay, I'm done. That's it. I told my story. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like that, too. But
it could have been. But, like, you know what? It still worked for his, like, for Matt Murdock.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's that kind of person where he's just like, I'm so tired. I just want to get this over with.
Yeah. Yeah, Man Without Fear, though. That's a good one. See, the two that you guys have just picked... I like them because I don't feel as much as DC that Marvel has those books where if someone says, hey, I want to read a good Marvel book.
They have like so many milestones of like just like amazing books, like just like great classics.
Marvel?
Yeah.
They do, but I often feel like you in order for you to appreciate Dark Phoenix Saga,
you need to read so much of X-Men.
I mean, back then they retold so much of the story within each issue, but like Civil War, it's like, here, read this.
Mm.
You know Captain America is, you know the Avengers, just read this, you're good, enjoy it. And the same thing with Man Without Fear, you can be like, you like Daredevil, you want a good Daredevil story, here's 5 issues of classic Daredevil, and if you want to keep going, you can, because now you got really good groundwork laid.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, read this Bendis trade of Daredevil... It's good.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy it, but it means more if you've read Frank Miller's stuff.
You know what I love so much about, like, Man Without Fear is that, like, each issue was kind of, like, a certain point of life.
Yes. Yes, that's
true. Like, the first issue, he was, like, he was just a kid. Yes. The second issue, he was just getting into college.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
He was, like, just learning how to, like...
You see Stick and all of that. Yeah, I know. It was a really good book.
Yeah, you have, like, that whole... You have the whole Daredevil, like... What's the word that I'm looking for?
The infrastructure?
Yes, that.
Yeah.
And, like, all the supporting characters that, like, that are so huge down the road.
Yeah.
You got Foggy already. You got Elektra in there. It's like, oh, will they ever see you again? Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. It works really well if you read the Miller stuff that came out first.
Yeah.
And then read that, or start there and go into the Miller stuff.
Yeah, I find that both ways. Yeah. Like, you'll have a great appreciation for it if you, like, obviously, the guys that have read this already as they were growing up, they're like, yeah, I appreciated that story for what it was, because it was like, okay, it was a retelling of how he grew up to be Daredevil. Whereas, like, if you were to recommend this to somebody now, that's just like, oh, I just watched the Daredevil series. What's, like, where do I start? It's just like, okay, if you want to invest a lot of money into Daredevil, Man Without Fear, Frank Miller's run, Born Again, Bendis, Brubaker, Wade.
Yeah.
That's what I say. But if you just want to go with, like, stuff that's really good, like, you don't have to read... I tell people, like, you don't have to read Bendis' run. You don't have to read Brubaker's run.
You can this run.
You could go Miller...
Wade.
And then Wade.
I agree.
Some people are just like, but I want to read, like, everything. I'm just like, the thing is that Wade is able to, like, sum up what has happened in the past 25 years of Daredevil in one page. So this is what happened. That's what happened. That's what happened. All right, moving on.
Yeah. I like what you said right there, because the Frank Miller is a definite version of Daredevil that stands alone.
Yeah.
And the next guy to do a very unique standalone version is Wade.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel everyone in between was...
It was just a follow-up to Miller. It was just like, okay, bend it. Okay, Miller brought him down to, like, this point where it's just like, oh... How will he ever come back from this? And then Ben's just like, I'm going to bring him even lower.
Yeah.
What? They outed him?
Yeah, just
beating him. And they just keep beating him. And then Brubaker's just like, all right, well, he's going to go to jail now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just the constant beating up of Matt Murdock, whereas Wade made him an adventurer again. Still making all that count, but, like, we're not going to just make him...
Yeah.
And he'll smile every now and then.
Yeah, and the thing is like... You're like, oh, but that's not like the Daredevil that I read. It's just like, but here's the thing. He's still like that. He's still that person.
I don't know why people want that same thing all the time.
It's such a bright book, but the thing is, he's still the same guy at the end of the day.
The Wade. Wade version, yeah.
At the very, like, spoilers to the guys who haven't gotten to this far. Did you read all of it?
I've read everything. I think I've read up to issue 11 or 12 of the second Somni and Wade run.
Okay, so you're close.
Yeah, I'm very close. I'm where he's in the red suit,
Oh, at that point. My God, it's so cool. He's so sassy.
Yeah, I'm at that point where he's writing his autobiography.
Yeah, it's great. He's so full of himself. I love it.
That was a great run.
Yeah, no, there's a, like, at the last issue, you'll see what I mean by, like, he's still
Matt who he is.
He's right. Still who he is.
Yeah.
He'll always be that character.
Yeah, that was a great run.
Yeah, man. Man Without Fear sets you up for all this.
Yeah, good pick. Very good pick so far, guys. All right. Since Ronnie took my Civil War... Just kidding. I'm going to go...
Are you looking up Marvel books?
No. Remember when we talked about this and I... was just like, I was describing the X-Men book that I really liked.
Yeah.
Don't have the title for it.
Yeah.
Uncanny X-Men number 178 was part of that run.
Well, that doesn't help.
Was it Inferno? No, I don't think so.
It's the book that had this panel in it.
Aw, man. 178, Brotherhood, Kitties, Things, and Baxter Billy. I don't remember.
Where?
I don't know.
I think Colossus, or Kitty Pryde. No, not Kitty. Kitty Pryde, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and Amanda were going to the Lincoln Center to see something, and then the Brotherhood was there. And they all get into a fight, and I think Wolverine and Storm end up showing up, and Pyro ends up heating Colossus to the point where he's, like, white hot. And then, what's it called? The Richter, or whatever.
Yeah.
He ends up, like, there's these canisters of, like, liquid nitrogen nearby or whatever. And it ends up, like, super cooling Colossus to the point where he's just, like, frozen and his skin is cracked and everything.
What?
And, like, then, like, Wolverine and Storm show up and they're like, what the heck? And, like, Kitty's all like, oh, no, Colossus. But, yeah, I'm trying to figure out the whole name of that run. And, yeah, that's...
Daryl would remember it.
Probably. He's the X-Men guy.
Yeah.
I don't think I've read that particular story. I'm trying to think. No, I can't. Nothing.
No, I was never like a huge X-Men guy.
Nothing. I don't remember that. Sorry, dude. We're the wrong guys. Shame on us.
I was never huge on X-Men, so not really shame.
It's yeah. Okay.
I know the Scholastic Burn. Book I know order. The Burn and the Burn and Claremont stuff and Mutant Massacre.
Then a bit of the Claremont stuff.
Yeah, you said you weren't a big fan. So, speaking of X-Men, I got a pick. And I'm going to go with something that I feel is another one of those things you guys have done where
yes.
You can jump onto it. And I'm going to go with Astonishing X-Men from Joss Whedon and John Cassaday. I don't know if you've ever read that run, either of you, but it's one of those, it's four trades, 25 issues of great comics. And John Cassaday doesn't... Is it Cassidy or Cassaday? I forget how to pronounce it now. I think it's Cassaday. He usually doesn't do long stretches of books.
Yeah.
He'll do like six issues and then he'll like fall behind. So for him to do, I think, all 25, if I'm not mistaken, without missing an issue, it's a great collection of...
There's only two volumes. They only did two ultimate collections.
Yeah, because it's 25 issues, right?
Yeah.
So they did, like, they split it in half. But originally, I think the trades were, like, four different trades.
Yeah, four trades.
But if
it's
you
pretty good.
If you like X-Men movies,
mm-hmm.
if you like the X-Men cartoon, if you like old X-Men comics, it's one of those books that is for every X-Men fan. Like, I don't think it's... I know a lot of people said the Grant Morrison stuff was, like, the best... X-Men, but some people are like, nah, that's not my X-Men.
Leather
like
jackets.
It. Yeah. Where they kinda...
Dog tags.
Danier wallets.
But this the Whedon X-Men kind of brings everything back to
normal.
Yeah, to the X. And if you want to jump onto an X-Men book and have like your Wolverine and your Cyclops, it's not all the original people,
mm-hmm.
but it's very much in that vein of...
Everyone knows.
Classic.
It's the '90s. It's the '90s, like X-Men team.
Emma Frost is on the team.
Gambit.
I don't know if Gambit is. Kitty Pryde. Kitty Pryde is there.
Oh,
there's a great reveal where Colossus returns. Spoilers.
Yeah.
It's.
Oh, is that what like after he died or ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
When he was taking that drug because his arms were too heavy for himself.
Yeah. I don't remember.
That's
that.
That's how I explain it.
But when he is revealed and Kitty sees him for the first time,
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah.
Great book. I don't want to spoil any of it, but if you want to read a good X-Men book, people, Astonishing X-Men from Joss Whedon.
Yeah, great book. That was a good pick. Yeah, so far, pretty good.
That X-Men series. Okay, one of the things that happens is that...
He's
still
stuck on that X-Men book.
It's killing me. It's when Rogue actually starts to join the X-Men. Like, she leaves the Brotherhood. And she's got, like, that short hair.
That's just... That sounds like it's just before the Mutant Massacre.
Probably.
I think. Sounds like right. It. But I don't know that storyline in particular.
Okay.
You want us to look it up for you? Is it bothering you that much? We need to do some digging?
I'll find it somehow.
Or...
Maybe save it for next
or,
time.
Or... We'll just call Daryl.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll do that later.
Yeah.
All right. Ronnie,
good
you...
Good idea.
You're up. Next pick, number two.
Number two.
I hope it's not this X-Men book that you can't figure out what it is.
That would be hard. Wow. Did we just go back to another Richard joke?
Marvel guy. Marvel. Top three Marvel.
I'm going to go with Superior Spider-Man.
I like it.
I was like, which one should I go with next?
Like the full run? Not just like a certain story from it?
I've only read like the two volumes.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't read the ending of it.
The ending's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Yeah. There's a point where I'm just like, I don't think Pete's coming back. There was a point where I was like, this isn't gonna happen. Like, he's not coming back.
He's just watching everything.
But yeah. There was even a point too where
he kills Pete's conscience. He gets
rid of every vestige of Peter Parker.
I read that part.
Yeah, but then like, apparently Doc Ock like, well, are you gonna read the rest of it?
Well, definitely read the rest of it.
You can spoil it.
Okay, so
forget it. Peter comes back.
Yeah, Peter comes back.
Because
spoilers.
I know it's because Doc's just like, oh, you're the better Spider-Man.
Yeah, and he's losing his mind. He's just like, Green Goblin, Hobgoblin.
Spiders! Craven, what are you doing eating those spiders?
That's essentially what's happening, and he's like losing his mind. He's like, I don't know how to beat these guys.
Oh wow!
And then that's
surprising, considering the fact that like, you know, Doc's probably like worked with them. Like, you never thought he would come up with a contingency plan for them.
Yeah, or, like, no, and he because there was like it was just all foreshadowing. Like they were in the shadow, like literally in the shadows, like shadows.
Yeah, it was a really good setup. It was
okay.
I was boycotting that book on principle when I saw that it was coming out. I hadn't read up to it. So when I took another hiatus between, you know, when New 52 started, I'm like, okay, I'm out of comics because they just erased everything that I knew and loved, and now they're starting. I'm done.
And Spider-Man was the last straw.
And then
Spider-Man was the last straw for a lot of people, man.
And then there was it was the whole Avengers vs. X-Men, and you start to hear good things happening again in comics. But when I came back, I'm like, what's Superior Spider-Man? You got Amazing Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, all these spectacular Spider-Man. Now what's this one? Now they're running out of adjectives. They're like, oh no, this is Doc Ock as Spider-Man. I'm like, where's Pete? Is this like an Elseworlds, like an Ultimate Spider-Man type of thing? And they're like, no, Pete's gone. So, like, on principle, I'm like, why would you want to read a Spider-Man book?
That's how they explained it to you?
It's a pretty terrible explanation.
No, I mean, I had heard...
That's what got me into it. I was like, what? I'm down.
I was hearing good things about it through different podcasts and people were, like, talking about it. But it just didn't... For me, I'm kind of like, they did the Brand New Day or One More Day. And now this is, you know, a whole other thing where they're trying to get rid of Pete. I'm like, I don't want to get into another book that I feel like I got to know so much in order to appreciate it. But it really sold me on Dan Slott as a writer.
You know what's funny is that because the sales weren't doing so well for Amazing Spider-Man at that time,
they was did. Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was. They did Superior Spider-Man, and there wasn't going to be a Spider-Man movie for another like 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
At that time, right? Yeah. So they're just like, screw it, we'll just make a new slate.
Right.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, yeah.
Little do they realize, like, this was actually going to be a book that everybody loved. And I feel like that book now is Captain America.
Explain. What do you mean?
Because in Captain America, Steve Rogers, he's a Hydra
agent. Oh, right. Right. I get it. Okay, yes, yes. Absolutely.
And people are raving. Pissed off. It's really good. Now it's really bad.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of people are, like, upset about it. But I'm just like, you know what? It could be this, like,
Once the whole story comes full circle, you'll be like, wow, that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen right now.
No.
No, and the thing is, like, this isn't permanent.
No,
Once they come out with Avengers, it's going to be like, bang, right away, Captain America is going to be...
Status quo.
Yeah, status quo. He's going to have his circle shield again. You're going to see the wings and everything on his helmet.
And that's the thing, right, is that you can look at these things as, like...
He's gonna be able to fly with those wings.
Namor. Yeah, like you sometimes look at it and think, "Oh, this is a shake-up. It's a marketing scheme. It's, you know, just what's the word? Marketing scheme, but like a gimmick,
a cash grab.
Yeah, something like that to get people to buy. But it went 32 issues, and it was a really good. Superior Spider-Man was a really good series.
Yeah,
a standalone series. Yeah. And when it had such an impact when he did it. I was at the... When he came to the Fan Expo, and somebody had asked him what some of his experiences were like during that time, because there was such a vehement, like, this is horrible, why would you do this? You've ruined my life, because I love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He was getting death threats to the point where Marvel had to hire him security guards.
That's crazy.
Where and there was a couple times where he was mentally keeping track, and so were the security guards, when he would do signings for, like, the... certain issues of Superior,
yeah,
that there would be like the same person in line,
yeah,
but like from, well, this guy traveled a distance to come here,
yeah,
he was in New York and now he's in Philly type of deal, so he was actually
paranoid
because of the impact it was having. But it's comics, like, people are nuts.
Yeah, not everything's permanent.
No,
I mean, Bucky's back.
I'm pretty sure people have been Gwen getting is back. Death threats for like far worse.
But to get to that point, like, it really reached an audience, either good or bad. But
yeah.
Did you read Spider-Verse?
By chance? No. But so, I know what happens.
Okay. There was that one moment in Superior Spider-Man where you see... They do a tie-in with Spider-Man 2099 in Superior, right?
Yeah.
But there's, like, a panel where you see... Doc Ock Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man disappear, and when he comes back, he's screaming something about what had happened.
What?
And then it gets explained in Spider-Verse.
What?
Yeah, you remember that part, right? It was just one of those things where it made me appreciate, like, while Dan Slott is really... He's got a plan in motion.
Yeah.
If you don't like this issue or this arc, wait for it. It's going to pay off.
What?
Yeah, stick with it.
I need to buy Spider-Man books now.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's worth it.
Spider-Verse is pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Like, for what it was, a lot of people were just like, oh, man, it's going to be terrible. Oh, stupid Spider-Man crossover.
Okay, but
like,
Spider-Man's awesome.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, Spider-Island did well. People lost their minds over Spider-Island.
Yeah.
What? People are now spider things?
Isn't that when Silk came out?
No, that was after Superior.
Oh, well.
That's another thing, too.
That was before Spider-Verse?
Yeah, just before. It's another thing, too, I give Dan Slott credit for as a Spider-Man writer, is that he created so many characters that he's allowed other people to run with.
Yeah.
He created Silk, created Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Superior
Spider-Man. He's Marvel's Batman.
Who's that? Dan Slott?
No, Spidey.
Oh, yeah.
Because
like,
it's like he's got... He branches out and there's like all these people now.
He's got his rogues... his rogues gallery is crazy too. Yeah.
And I was... That's a good point.
It's just as good as Batman's rogues gallery.
Yeah.
I would argue somebody that it might be better.
Yeah, you said that last
Spider-Man's
time.
Rogues gallery is better than Batman's?
I would argue it. I'm not saying it is, but...
No, I agree with you.
Because Batman always gets like, oh, Batman's the best, his villains are the best, he's got Joker, he's got this guy, he's got that guy. But when you think of Spider-Man villains, automatically, it's Joker. Mm-hmm. Right? The end-all, be-all story, the Killing Joke.
Batman. You said Spider-Man, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, it's Batman.
Yeah.
You got the Killing Joke, you got Death of the Family, all of these, like... Scott Snyder couldn't help but tell more Joker stories.
Yeah.
To the point where now he wants to write All-Star Batman so he can...
Branch off
and use the other villains. But in Spider-Man's case, who's his number one villain? They always kind of said it's Green Goblin.
Even then, there hasn't been a whole bunch of Green Goblin stuff.
Not recently. Yeah. Like, in the 90s, after the Clone Saga, they're like, everything, the Green Goblin's behind everything, Goblin's back. But with Doc Ock, I'm like, that might be a bigger villain in his case.
Yeah.
Wait, how does Aunt May die?
She's not dead, right? Aunt May's not dead. She's alive. She's died and been resurrected a bunch of times.
Okay.
On the verge
Who
of dying.
Dated Aunt May?
Doc Ock.
Yeah, no, Doc Ock's the villain.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's the arch nemesis.
Yeah. And he has that flashback in Superior, right?
Oh, like, yeah, because no! He's pervy Ock.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's right. When he's trying to get with Mary Jane, and he's like, wait, memories. Yeah. And if you don't like Superior Spider-Man, it's probably because of memories. Memories. Not gonna go there.
It's another good pick, because I think if someone wants to just read a standalone Spider-Man series, just read Superior.
Yeah. It's got all of his rogues gallery, too. Yeah.
And you could literally jump into it.
Yeah. No, that's a good
pick. Which is what I did.
Yeah. Good art team too, with Stegman and Ramos
and Kevin Coley.
Yeah, very good art team.
Yeah,
man, this makes me want to go back and read all the stuff that I got, guys. All right, Jazz, your turn. Number two, good pick, Ronnie.
Thanks.
I don't know what I'm gonna. Let's go Winter Soldier. Yeah, Winter Soldier.
Captain America?
Winter Soldier by Brubaker, like the last bit of his quote-unquote Captain America run.
The title, Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Haven't read it. This is all you.
Neither.
This is literally like the end of his run entirely for Captain America.
Okay.
He wanted Bucky to be a part of that entire run, right?
Right.
So, he was the antagonist in the beginning, and all the way through, he built his character, built him up as, Captain America, and then... How far are you? I don't want to spoil anything.
I am on the trial of the Winter Soldier omnibus, and I did the first 8 issues of that. So it's like the first trade in a little bit.
Okay, so
you... I'm not...
So you haven't gotten to the point yet. Where...
I'm almost where Winter Soldier is about to start.
Okay. So...
So Cap is back. Cap and Bucky are both...
Cap.
I think I'm in the point where they're telling the story of the 1950s Cap.
Okay, yeah. I know where you are. Okay. So, at that point, Captain America is running his Secret Avengers team, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I know where you are. This takes place after that.
Right.
And after Secret Avengers, they do Captain America and then they do Winter Soldier. Brubaker's still running Cap. And he's also writing Winter Soldier. Both of them run at the same time, and they, and Cap shows up in Winter Soldier quite a few times.
So they,
Intertwine.
Yes, okay. Definitely.
Except Captain America is, its own thing. Like, he doesn't...
Yeah.
Winter Soldier isn't in there because he's dead.
Okay. Presumably.
Yeah, presumably dead. And this is where you see the more espionage-esque...
And it's him and Black Widow a lot, yes. Right?
Okay. And all of the character building and whatnot, all the foreshadowing was happening during Captain America with Bucky as Cap. And this is where it ends.
Okay.
This is where you see all of it come crashing down. It's just this terrible thing that happens to Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Civil War, the movie?
Yep.
How there were multiple Winter Soldiers.
Right, right.
That's a thing in Winter Soldier.
Okay. Oh,
sick.
So he has to go out and either recruit those Winter Soldiers and reprogram them so that way they are either normal people or they want to help his cause.
Or kill them.
Or kill them.
Da, da, da.
And one of them plotted this entire thing.
Wow.
Yep.
Dope.
Don't tell me no more.
Spoiler! That's it. That's okay. All I'm gonna give you. Okay. And it's just a spiraling book, man. It's so good and it's so dramatic and it's...
And that's not what... That's a good pick because... Not that I've read it, but it's not one that is... When people think Brubaker, Cap...
They don't think Winter Soldier.
No, it's one of... It's kind of...
They think Winter Soldier when Winter Soldier's introduced.
Yeah.
They think Death of Cap.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, so it's a kind of a dark horse pick, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Good story that might be forgotten in that whole run.
It's great, man. And the thing is, once you get to the end, you'll be like,
over again.
All this just and then is this is what happens.
Is that like Marvel's Hush? No, I'm joking.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. What would you guys say is Marvel's Hush?
I don't know if they got one.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Like, a main character who has to go through his whole rogues gallery because of one guy.
Yeah.
Man.
You're making us think.
Sorry.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good...
If Shadowland was done properly, that would have been Shadowland.
I have it.
I don't know. I think
not done properly.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm stumped, Ronnie.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Winter Soldier, probably like one of my favorite Brubaker books ever.
Ever?
Ever.
And you're a big Brubaker fan.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
I have some of his Batman stuff.
His Batman stuff is...
I think I do.
Even when he's rapping Marvel, he's got the Batman belt. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His Batman stuff is all right.
Gotham Central.
Gotham Central was the book.
Yeah, I only hear good stuff from you guys about that.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. It was like the first issue. Freeze puts the freeze gun.
Yeah, I know, you told me.
Yeah, in someone's mouth and just.
I was. It's always. I was one of those guys who was like.
I don't, he gave him brain freeze.
Guys are dorks. All night, cheesy jokes.
I'm a dad. Dad jokes, I guess. I get a pass.
Getting back to what I was saying, brain freeze. I've always been hesitant of jumping on books that I feel they're using, like, for instance, to say Winter Soldier, the strength of the superstar character to sell a book, so like Gotham Central. It's like, oh, it's Gotham.
Yeah.
But Batman's not in it. But I was so surprised at how good of a Batman book that is. Without Batman, but it's all the things that make his world... It made Gotham so much more relevant. So that when you read a Batman book, you're like, what happens in the daytime with these detectives? Mm-hmm. Things get real.
Yeah.
You're probably like, I wonder who has to deal with that in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, which one of these guys has to
deal with that? And that was such a cool aspect of it, because Batman makes cameos.
Thank you.
No problem.
I was like, no, can't do it.
When he makes the cameos,
yeah,
it means so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Brubaker definitely has that skill of digging into the... Lore. Other parts of a character. Yeah, the lore of a character.
You know what's even cooler? Is that in Winter Soldier, he puts all these different characters that he's worked with in Winter Soldier.
That's sick. So that is Hush. I mean, that is the Marvel Hush, in a sense.
Daredevil's in it. Wolverine's in it. America's in it.
You're building this up pretty good. The look on your face, you look like a little kid who's just like...
It's so good!
It's his candy store.
It's one of my favorite books!
It's amazing!
It is amazing!
You gotta read it. Oh. You gotta read that omnibus.
I might go back and reread it. It's that good.
Okay. Oh, next pick.
There's such a sick scene. I want to talk about it.
Well, maybe we'll do a whole episode about it when I read it.
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that.
And it will get you to read it too.
Okay.
Daredevil's in it. And he fights Winter Soldier.
It'll be my first Captain America story.
He fights Winter Soldier.
You ever, you would like Cap. You would like Cap. The type of characters you enjoy.
World War II.
No, it's not even World War II.
No, it's not.
It's like, dude, he kicks people off of trains and they die.
Yeah, you would enjoy the Brubaker Cap.
Like in the level of gore, is it like Nemesis?
No, obviously not, because it's a Marvel book.
I know, but it's...
But you see him kick him off of a train from, like, five stories up.
I mean, I wouldn't mind.
Pretty sure that guy's dead.
I wanted to read something like that for a while, but in terms of, like, superhero, but okay.
Punisher Max?
I mean, he's not a superhero. Not to me. Sorry, not to me. Sorry, Punisher fans.
Read Bloodshot. You'll like Bloodshot.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay. Eric?
Okay, I'm gonna go cosmic because we haven't gone there yet.
I'm all street
space.
Level.
Space.
There you go.
Galaxies.
Cue Star Wars theme.
I'm gonna go with an oldie, Walt Simonson, Mighty Thor.
Oh, nice.
Ballad of Beta Ray Bill, specifically. Because I like all of Walt Simonson's Thor, but that specific beginning arc, the cover art, told stories, and you don't have it. I checked. You just got volume 2, which all of that is good. But the introduction of this character, the design, the look of him, he looks like a villain. Like, how could this... That first issue, it's have you've seen that issue before of Beta Ray Bill smashing the Thor title with the hammer, and he's dressed like Thor. Yeah. It's like, who's this horse-looking guy that looks so evil that is able to hold the hammer? Mm. And just, it's epic, it's so it's like high drama, it's space, sci-fi, but it also has like...
I should have started with that.
But if you like anything fantasy,
mythology and whatnot, it's definitely there. Like,
if you like Star Wars, you'll like it. If you like superheroes, it's just, especially the relationship.
It's a fun story.
It's so fun, and the art is awesome.
Yeah,
Walt Simonson's Thor, I think, is unparalleled as far as how it looks and all the things he sets in play. I can't imagine anybody who generally likes comics wouldn't like that.
It's literally, like, there's only two Thor runs that I can think of that are, like, iconic. It's Walt Simonson, Jason Aaron. That is it.
There's stuff in between. The Straczynski stuff is really good.
I heard.
It's actually really good. That. Yeah, go back and read it. You'll like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, Coypel art.
Coypel.
It's really
his
good.
Eyes, no eyes. Every character looks like Ronnie.
What? Oh, snake.
Oh, that's horrible.
Really, though?
Yeah, he
must be some handsome looking characters then. Is what I should have said.
So, yeah, Beta Ray Bill, Ballad of Beta Ray Bill.
Nice.
They did a good adaptation on the Avengers cartoon of that. I don't know if you guys ever seen it.
I did not watch that.
And to figure out, like, how to see Thor go up against somebody who looks evil but is actually a hero in his own right, and to see why he's like, they literally have Odin makes them battle to see who is actually worthy.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've seen that episode.
Of holding the hammer.
Yeah.
And it's not who you expect it to be. Like, it's awesome. Huh. Yeah. So if you want a good Thor story, you can start with that.
That's Batman's worthy.
Yeah. He shows up and picks up the hammer. Yeah, Ballad of Ridley Bill. I love that series. Third pick, Ronnie. Go for it.
Third pick. What is my third pick, Dan?
What's my third pick?
Uncanny X-Force.
Good thing you guys came prepared.
Yeah.
Uncanny X-Force. That's a... Remender. Yes.
But why?
Great pick.
Because of Deadpool. Because of Deadpool.
Not swords.
Let's hear it.
Guns.
Mercenaries.
Murder.
It's getting late.
It's true.
It's getting late.
Because he's not written as he usually is, where he's like, oh.
He's all banter and stuff.
He is the goofball. He does have his jokes here and there,
but the thing
when
is
it comes down to it, like, they have to go after Apocalypse. They show up and they're like, okay, where's Apocalypse? And it's him in, like, kid form. And they're like, this is the end of the world. And this kind of starts, like, a bit of, like, inner turmoil within the team where it's like, do we kill him? Do we let him go? It's a kid. We're still killing a kid. And then out of nowhere, Phantom X comes in and puts a bullet in his head. Yeah. he ends up killing.
Shooting him in the face, and Deadpool was the first one to be like, this is the worst thing.
Of everyone in that whole group of killers, not even Wolverine, he was just like,
this is wrong. Yeah. I shouldn't be on this team anymore.
We killed a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's Apocalypse, but he was a kid. Like, and how do you guys just walk away from that?
Yeah.
Of all the people, Deadpool to be the one that does that.
Yeah, that was a great... I read the first 18 issues of that. I got the second Ultimate Collection trade to read. But that was definitely a good book. Remender, man, he's... I don't know what else you've read from him, but he's...
Deadly Class is really good, too.
I haven't read that.
Oh, I've read, like, the first three issues. Or three volumes? Three issues.
I was about to say, like, oh, yeah, how are those
really
three issues?
Good story in those first three issues. First three volumes.
But he's got a way of, like... digging deep into, like, the like you said, the conscience of and people's motivations.
Yeah.
And I find when I read his stuff, like Black Science, I just read Seven to Eternity, the first trade. I find in his books, he has the most, like, the dialogue, the one-liners, like, life lessons in them. And I just, I don't remember particularly things from Uncanny X-Force, but just the makeup of that team, how they have to work together, the crisis of conscience that, you know, a Wolverine has, and having to associate with that, with Deadpool or Phantom X and those characters. It was a really intriguing story.
Yeah.
Art was great, and I don't know how the next half of it continues on, because I think the art, I don't know if it's Opeña.
So Opeña does the first arc. Ribic takes over.
Yeah.
Great team of characters.
It was Ribic, and then it was, it wasn't Diodato, it was somebody else.
Is it Albuquerque?
Diodato? Albuquerque did not that arc. Oh, who did it? I'm trying to figure it out.
You don't have any of the trade series?
I know Ticini does some of the art.
Yeah, that's right. That's familiar.
Then it's Philip Tan. Tan was the one that did
on the second half.
A bunch of the, I think he did the Dark Phoenix, not Dark Phoenix, sorry, Dark Angel Saga.
Okay.
Stuff.
Yeah, Angel's on that team, right?
Archangel.
Archangel, yeah. It was, that's a good book. And I was told that if you want to be introduced to Deadpool and not be overly irritated by
that's the place to try it. It's like, that's the book that, like, it makes people, like, kind of cry and, like, tear up, like, when you see, like, when you get the lore behind, like, when you already have the lore of the characters,
it means more, of course. Yeah,
right? You don't even need it. Like, if you can read that story off the bat, you would end up liking Deadpool just because.
No, did you finish the run?
Not all of it.
So, like, there's a lot more to it. So
I got up to the part where Deathlok started being involved, and I was like,
Nightcrawler shows up from Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And they go into the Age of Apocalypse timeline, and that's where, like, Iceman evil, too. Right?
That's right. I remember they had to go to Beast, Age of Apocalypse Beast.
Yeah, and they were time traveling and stuff. And they disguised themselves as, like, hot, like, chicks. Like,
I don't think I got to that point.
Yeah, there's some funny
Deadpool
parts. That's
probably a riot.
Yeah. And then there's a part where Nightcrawler takes out Iceman.
How does he do it? You can't just say that and explain
it.
No.
You can't tell me. I don't know.
Okay, tell me after.
Okay. it gets you. It hits you really hard. Especially, like, the ending, like, whatnot, and, like, all, like, the relationship with each character.
Yeah, he's got, I find Remender has that quality. I mean, not
he knows how to work with the characters.
Yeah, like, he makes, as fantastical and, like, Black Science is very dimension-hopping and Uncanny Avengers, as well as Uncanny X-Force, is again, like, that bit of time travel and alternate reality.
Time travel!
Right, it's there, but he does get down to the core of characters that he, like, breaks them down and really makes you, I don't know, it's like you do this internalizing when you read his books. For me, anyways, read Seven to Eternity. I don't know if you've checked it out yet.
I haven't read it yet.
Opeña?
It's there somewhere.
Yeah, it's there. I just read it yesterday, one sitting. Great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mr. No Space might like it,
space
but
Space is okay, but
it's
like,
not in space, but it is like those type of, you know, that fantasy sci-fi aspect to it.
That's what I've heard.
So Uncanny X-Force.
So good.
Good pick. Really good picks, Ronnie.
Thanks.
For a mainly DC Batman guy,
yeah.
Your Marvel picks were strong.
I know.
I know. That's why I say. You got your third pick, Jazz?
Yeah. Because it's coming up soon, Immortal Iron Fist.
Immortal Iron Fist from Cary Andrews?
No, from Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction.
And
it was a good
David Aja.
Yeah,
right?
David Aja.
That is a
I was going to say Hawkeye by Matt Fraction and David Aja. I was just like, you know what? People talk about that way too much.
It's true. I feel like that gets like so much
like recognition.
Yeah, like it deserves of, like, it.
Yeah, no,
it
definitely
deserves it. But I do think that. That Iron Fist doesn't get enough.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, like, now that Iron Fist is getting his own series, thank God, this is the book that everybody should be reading.
I think they will.
Yes.
I think... I read the most of the Cary Andrews stuff, and it was
only
good.
Like 12 issues.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. But in that, my head, my impression of Iron Fist will always be that book.
No, it's great. Yeah, like, definitely. And the thing is... All the history is behind it, too.
Yeah, it just... And it adds layers to the character.
It just, like, he just keeps going with it. It's not like, okay, I introduce one character and that's it. It's like, no, I introduced this character because there was this.
And the whole lineage of people that were Iron Fists before him.
Yeah, not just that. Oh, Kunlun's not the only mystical city. There's six other mystical cities. What?
Yeah, mysticism.
No, that was
martial arts.
Kung Fu.
That whole tournament with the I forgot what it's called when they have it every couple
every, like,
years, 10 years,
every
where they all
years
align.
Or like
Yeah. It was
the Kumite. No.
Yeah, I can't remember what they call it, but it was so good.
Yeah,
it was
great.
The thing is, like, if you guys have seen the trailer, you know that one of the characters from their run is going to be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Bride of Spiders. Bride of Spiders.
Oh. Yeah, that's it's a great collection. You guys have it in the store on the shelf there. If you guys want to read good Iron Fist and prep yourself for how cool the TV show hopefully will be, that's the book to read.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to see the Thunder.
I want to see the Thunder too. I want to see, like...
Here's a question. I felt when I saw her in Daredevil, I said she's going to be in Iron Fist. Did you know Madame Gao?
Yeah. No, right
is
away.
She, is she a character in Iron Fist? See, I didn't know if she was or not, but I said she's going to be in Iron Fist.
No. The thing is that when she first started talking about stuff in Daredevil, I'm just like, she's going to Kunlun. Or some sort of mystical city.
That's going to be amazing.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say next.
She said something like, she disappeared or she left or something like that.
She's like, oh, I'm going somewhere else. And Kingpin's just like, where are you going? And she's like, somewhere where you can't reach. I was like, what?
In my head, I don't know if I said it to my wife, but she wouldn't have understood if I would have been like, he's going to Kunlun.
Yeah.
But... Yeah.
She's like, Kazoon tight.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, forget it. 4 seasons from now, you'll understand.
Yeah, and what's great is that, like, they were already foreshadowing for Iron Fist because Steel Serpent was in Daredevil.
He was?
Dog, he's the guy with the tattoo on his back that was talking to Madame Gao.
I remember now.
I lost it. It was like, that's Steel Serpent! This is gonna be amazing!
The lines on the recording right now just went through the roof.
The mic doesn't work, you know why.
Yeah, the mic won't work. Well, you'll definitely come through on this recording, guys. So, Fraction, Brubaker,
Aja, Iron Fist. Read it.
And just those 16 issues.
Yep, just those 16 issues.
I really liked that series, and then I was disappointed that it ended on such a cliffhanger that I wanted to go and read what happens next, but it isn't the same team.
No, it isn't. And so it's not the same thing either.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, ugh. I'm kind of left in the lurch, but it was... All of these books you guys mentioned, I want to read them all again. Good picks.
They're so good.
Yeah, very good picks. And they're not standard. They're not all like your... You know,
your typical like Marvel books. It's not like, well, there's Civil War, but
Civil War. Maybe
Uncanny X-Force. You're never getting like someone's gonna. You're not gonna get a customer that comes in and is gonna be like, "Have you read Uncanny X-Force?" The what? The who?
You might, but I think that's
X-Force.
But I think
yes, that is that is literally the answer.
I just think it's one of those things where someone says, "Give me your top three." You always feel like you got to say those classics, definite, no argument type of...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So. When, yeah, when people say my top three, I'm like, my top three. Not generally top three that everybody would like. It's just like...
I think they're pretty diverse. Because you didn't pick... You picked a well-known Spider-Man story, but it isn't...
It isn't something that people agree
Craven's
with.
Last Hunt. You know, that's the softball. Yeah.
His last time.
But it should be, it should definitely be talked about.
He hates spiders. I was going to say spiders. Thunderbolts, the team with Deadpool, Elektra, Red Hulk,
right.
The leader, and...
That was kind of ridiculous.
Ghost Rider?
Too. The leader died, like, every other issue.
Yeah.
He was the Kenny.
The first bit was really good. I have that in issues.
He was the Kenny of that universe. Moment. No, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I know.
He died like every other issue, and they're just like, "What are we gonna do with the Master? I'll just do this."
I love that. Every time Deadpool got annoying, Punisher would just kill him.
Who wrote that? That's Thunderbolts.
Daniel Way.
And the covers were awesome.
Yeah, covers are pretty dope. I think I stole one of the stole a poster for it.
From here.
Not from here.
Oh. I was going to say, fired.
Not from here.
Fired.
I didn't steal a poster, but like, I got a poster.
Alright, my last pick.
Yeah.
Before we wrap this all up, I'm going to go a very, very obvious one. I was going to pick the Straczynski, John Romita
Spider-Man?
Bit of Spider-Man. Yeah. I really like that with the whole Moreland thing that they had.
Yeah.
And when he... That's the series, too, where Aunt May officially figures out that he's been Spider-Man. That was a...
She loses her mind.
And she goes to the Daily Bugle and chews out J. Jonah Jameson. It's really good. Yeah, it's a really...
I'm not going to read it, but, so you guys can talk about it. I'm just going to sit here like, what?
Yeah, no, it's a really
cool... Aunt May, you... I'm not going to say it. You
no,
snake!
It was a good run that they had together.
Doc Ock, Spidey's best friend.
But I will go with the classic Spider-Man, Death of Gwen Stacy. Just because it's...
Did you know she was pregnant?
No, there was nothing back then that was the thing that J. Michael Straczynski changed, and that had everyone up in arms. We were like, how could you do that? Why would you make that into the story?
Because retcons.
Yeah, they retconned that. But that story, I don't think it will ever lose, as I didn't live to see it. Obviously, I wasn't alive, but up until now, it was the death that stayed the same, and it kind of defined... how different Marvel was as a publishing company.
Yeah, compared to DC.
A main character, a main hero loses, and he and somebody close to him, the girl, dies, and he blames himself for
it. That doesn't happen in DC.
I mean, they tried to do it with Green Lantern.
But
it
didn't work out.
The
it fridge? Became like, yeah, it became like more of an uproar.
Like a frozen
but
dinner.
Because he, yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, man.
Hungry man.
This episode so many turns, but the ramifications of what that did to the character. Did you guys ever read Spider-Man Blue?
Oh no!
Oh, yeah.
Why
that?
Did we have to talk about that?
I was gonna pick that.
Oh my god!
Right, and if it wasn't that story, wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for the death of Gwen Stacy.
You know, I read that when I was like slightly tipsy, and I cried.
What? Why was that the book you picked up? Like, of all the
books? I was like, I gotta read some comics. I'm like, yeah, I should probably be Spider-Man Blue. I haven't read a Spider-Man book in a while.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm like, this should be good.
It's a great book.
And I was just like, I was thinking like, thwip, thwip, okay. And, you know, kick some ass. And nope.
Old man. No, old man Spidey, but okay, some flip flip.
No, it was literally just like him in an attic talking about Gwen and like how he would want his life with Gwen. I'm like,
it was a heart. It was a tearjerker.
Oh my god!
And it was drawn.
Something else. Sorry.
Yeah. No. It goes. It's Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Yeah.
And so it has that artwork kind of in the style of Long Halloween, but they go back to the '60s when Peter was young, and it was just all of them being kids and being in college, and it's very like. it's not a dark, depressing book. It has so much joy, so that when it does get to the end where you realize that Peter's just talking to himself on remembering Gwen,
yeah,
it really hits home. But those stories, for all of these years, wouldn't be what they are if it wasn't for that original death. Yeah. And it's funny, they asked Jerry Conway, the guy who did it, and he was only like a kid when he wrote that. So he was like 20 years old.
Wow.
And he was the first writer who actually took after Stan Lee, who had a significant run. So imagine being the guy to follow Stan Lee on the character he created after 100 issues. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So a lot of those guys didn't like Gwen because it was Stan Lee's...
The first thing he did was go back.
Yeah. They all wanted Peter... They all thought Mary Jane should be Peter's girlfriend.
Yeah. Everyone thinks, like, off the top, Mary Jane, Felicia, maybe, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But Gwen, he was like, you know, that was Stan Lee's idea of what he wanted as a wife in his real life.
Yeah.
So he's like, but that's not what the young guys wanted as a girlfriend. So he's like, he's like, I'm gonna kill her. And I don't.
She's wrinkly.
Stan, you're horrible.
It's so easy. I don't know why. I feel like if I'd probably be a villain in like a parallel universe because it's just so easy.
With all the Richard Grayson jokes.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's late.
Especially when you try to tell yourself not to do it. You're just like, okay, I'm not going to be horrible. I'm not going to make these jokes. And then, like, the opportunity comes and it just slips out. It's like, sorry.
They come quicker.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, so that's my final pick. Death of Gwen Stacy. And I think it's pretty easy. It's always reprinted. It's pretty easy to find. There's multiple versions of the Death of the Stacys, Death of Gwen Stacy. And Gil Kane art drawing Spider-Man with Romita Inks.
So good.
Yeah, it's classic. So that's it.
I don't know.
Three Marvels. Do you guys have any alternatives? Are you sad now about reading Spider-Man Blue?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, Jess.
I have an alternative.
Go for it.
Identity Crisis for my DC.
That was a good pick.
Oh, no. Why would you say that?
Let's see if I can get you to cry.
Oh, Jazz is a romantic.
If we were, like, on cam right now.
Yeah, that face. Oh, I think you might.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Do you have an alternative for Marvel? Don't listen to this guy.
Marvel?
Yeah, an alternative pick.
Remember Ralph and Sue did me? No. Nobody does anymore.
You're a terrible person.
Nobody but us.
You're a terrible person. In terms of Marvel, I'd probably go... I don't know, man. Vengeance of the Moon Knight.
Wow.
That was really good.
From who?
I think it was Greg Hurwitz and Jerome Pena.
Okay.
Really well done. It was like Moon Knight's return. He hadn't been like he hadn't been in the public for like ages. And this is like post-Civil War.
Oh, okay.
And you're just like, okay. And like this happens all the time where they're just like, okay. Moon Knight's getting a series, then he won't get a series. And
or will he?
Or yeah, that's the thing! I'm not even kidding! And then, like, when he gets a series, you're like, wow, this is great! And it's like, by the way, it's only 12 issues.
Oh, wow!
And it's like, okay, when's the next one? You'll see him in Age of Ultron.
Oh, God. Like, he was in that? I forgot.
He was in that a panel!
I tried to forget that whole thing.
Anyways, Vengeance of the Moon Knight was great because, like, it was his return. And it wasn't like, okay, he was killing people. He was, like, Batman.
Mm.
He had all the gadgets. He had all the vehicles and whatever. He went up against heroes, too.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, he went up against Sentry.
Ooh.
And Sentry, like, just stood there. He's like, I can kill you. He's like, oh, but you won't.
Two guys that are both out of their minds.
Yeah, he's like, you won't because you have to be the good guy for everybody.
Mm. Interesting.
He's just like,
but I know something they don't know.
Moon Knight's one of those characters that I haven't
done. I got a lot of Moon Knight stuff, so I could like lend that stuff to you, man.
I heard the Ellis Shelby, Duff and Shelby stuff was good.
That's so good. Did I read that? I can't remember. I need to see the cover for that.
My alternate would have probably been Winter Soldier or Dark Phoenix Saga. Both ones that I think are essential reads. But I think for the most part, the stuff you guys pick specifically are things that people could come to the store and jump on those books and just read if they want to dig into Marvel books.
No, definitely.
They're good jumping on points, which I think is sometimes hard for
Marvel and for DC especially.
I think DC has has more options in regards to just reading that book and that's it. Whereas Marvel, it's a lot of it is within continuity, but the stuff you guys picked, they're like, here, read this Spider-Man, read this Iron Fist, you're good. And then it'll just make them want to read more, which is the key.
The great thing is that with these books, it's just like, you wouldn't expect it, because with like Amazing Spider-Man, right, you kind of have to read everything to like
know everything.
Same with Wolverine, same with X-Men, same with Avengers.
Anyone, basically.
Yeah, but when it comes to like the street level heroes, like Daredevil, it's like you could read Mark Waid's Daredevil. That's it. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, no.
You could just leave. You could just be like that. That was it.
Yeah.
You could just read. Okay, here's Punisher Max. All right.
Yeah.
5 volumes or 6 volumes or whatever it is. All right, that's start to finish. I don't need to know anything else.
Yeah, but the thing is, because you get into it and you're able to read that chunk uninterrupted with creator shifting this, that, and the other, you get like, I like this Punisher.
Yeah.
Now what's another Punisher I can get into? Because you got something strong to dig your teeth into.
Yeah. Punisher
Max. Very nice. Oh, I forgot to mention, I had a Facebook follower who had a list of his top three.
So I
said that I would share it with everybody.
That's dope.
So, this is Martin Slam Duncan. Shout out to Martin.
Slam Duncan.
That's his tag.
Nice.
Oh.
He's got X-Men, The Mutant Massacre.
Nice.
Kraven's Last Hunt, which we didn't speak about, which is that classic Spider-Man book.
Yes. He hates spiders.
And another timeless one is Frank Miller, Chris Claremont Wolverine limited series.
Nice. Yeah, that was a good one too.
Yeah, I mean, these were all stuff that popped into my head, but again, you know.
See, thing is, the way that Daryl explained it was that Mutant Massacre was one of those crossovers where even if you read the tie-ins, it was a great story.
Yes, it was. And that's actually what Martin had said, was that it led to the creation of Archangel.
Yeah.
The coming of Apocalypse. It's the story where Angel loses his wings during the massacre. Like, it was setting up a lot of big things that would end up happening for the X-Men.
Yeah.
And it all around, it still holds up
as an
X-Men.
No.
Some X-Men stories don't from that era.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because, like, from what Daryl has told me, he's just like, there's only certain books that he would, like, actually go back and read.
Yeah.
And that he would actually recommend. Mutant Massacre being one of them, Age of Apocalypse.
Age of Apocalypse.
I was
going to pick Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's all he's really said.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's the Wolverine books here and there, but like, you can't really call them, you can't really name them as X-Men books. But yeah, that guy had some good picks. Wolverine, I was thinking of doing that.
That's a good pick. It's timeless.
Like, yeah.
I feel like, again, with some of the stuff that we get out of Marvel, they don't have as much, I would call them evergreen books like DC has.
Yeah.
Like New Frontier, Dark Knight Returns, Hush.
Yeah.
You know, All-Star Superman. But those ones that you guys picked and what Martin picked there, those are the go-to, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Especially the Wolverine one.
Yeah, Wolverine's great.
4-issue series.
God.
Yeah. Before he had become put in everything.
Yeah.
Right, that's like, oversaturated.
Apparently, according to an interview, an interview with Chris Claremont, I was watching the Wolverine and like I was watching like the extras and whatever, special features. They were doing this specifically for the Wolverine, and he's just like, so the way that I got Frank Miller to help me out with this miniseries was I harassed him on a daily basis, because he didn't think that Wolverine was a good enough character for comics. He was just like, oh, he's just some punk with like metal claws and this and that, And Chris Claremont's just like, no, he's more than that. There's more to his character that you just don't know.
Take him back to Japan and make him fight ninjas. And Frank was like, ninjas?
And then, then he's just like, he explained to him one day what he actually is. And Frank Miller's just like, I can get behind this.
Yeah.
He's a Ronin without cause. It's just...
Frank Miller, Ronin, ninjas.
Yeah.
Hand.
You're in. I want Ronin to have a book.
Like
Hawkeye costume Ronin, but it doesn't have to be
Hawkeye or Echo, or Blade.
Blade. I would read the heck out of that.
Okay, but like
vampire ninjas. Come on now.
But Echo's sick.
Yeah, but I didn't read that. So
you just smash your elbow.
Yeah, my funny bone.
I thought that was cool. And, like, at that time, this is what Mikey was saying. I'm going to make a shout-out to Mikey. He was saying that at that time, because Bendis had outed Daredevil, everybody was just like, what's going to happen now? He can't be Daredevil. There's no way that he could go around and, like, just, like, keep fighting crime. And everybody had thought, because they didn't know who Ronin was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They thought that Ronin was Matt Murdock.
Mm. It was Hawkeye, right?
No, it wasn't Hawkeye. It was Echo. Echo was the first Ronin.
Yeah.
Mm. Echo being one of Daredevil's...
Yes, I'm at that point now in New Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm at that point. It's good. New Avengers is good.
Allies.
Yeah, Allies.
She had the hand print on her face. That's right. She got slapped really hard. No, that's just what I told myself. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's what I told myself, too. I'm like, She got slapped really hard in the face.
No, she got caught doing that. If your hand's bigger than your face, you got cancer.
Cancer dorks. That's we're going to wrap this up. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our top three Marvel comic stories. You should send yours in to us if you've got stuff to pick. Send it to caveofsolitude@outlook.com or visit our website at caveofsolitude.com and subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review because it helps get the show more popular so everyone can listen to our nonsense. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Jazz. Thanks, Ronnie. And
no problem.
We will talk to you guys soon.
Yo, but check this out. Yo, Eli, turn the bass down and just let the beat keep on rocking.
And we out of here.
Yo, what happened to peace?
Peace.